Hey, you're listening to the Trucker Two Time Show. Let's go trucking.
I pulled in a roadhouse in Texas, a little place called Hamburger Dan. I stuck me a quarter in the jukebox, and I played a song with Truck Driving Man.
Hey, this is Joe Savio of Agency, and you're listening to the best podcast in the world.
Well, thank you, Joe. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Trucker Two Times here, coming at you from the 268 over 6 mile marker right here. Southbound on Interstate 81 through the big Virginia state. The big Virginia is for lovers. Keep Virginia beautiful. Virginia, lovely Virginia. Mostly blue sky, a little bit of white shade to it there. Blue Ridge Mountains out my left driver's window. Nice, long, even mountain line. Line of mountain there looks pretty well even running down through there. I guess it is there for the most part. Anyway, it's a lovely 27 degrees. Last night there we come through a little bit of freezing ice and freezing something, snow. The roads looked like it was slick, and a lot of people was just crawling on them there, but it didn't feel slick to me, so I come on down through there. But when a bunch of vehicles sees one doing it there, the rest of them fall out, or a lot of others start falling behind, start doing the same there. But I was thinking that they should have had the road salted or whatever anyway. You know, it's about 27 degrees there on the road, but it might have been slick in a place. Even the bridges didn't feel slick, though, so I just went with the way it felt there. Sometimes it might look bad and it ain't. Sometimes it might not look bad and it is there. It's, Mother Nature's a little bit tricky there at times. I'm gonna try to get down through here today without mentioning any titles of, anything to do with politics there. I think I might have got into a, rut with that right there, and Laura emailed me and let me know where that I was getting too far off course on my podcast there, so I'm going to try to get back on the right course here and everything, and straighten my act up a little bit. I was kind of thinking, you know, I might be running out of stuff, you know, where she mentioned, you know, enjoyed hearing talk about thing, you know, stories in the past and this and that I've done everything there. Boy, state boys are busy right in here, buddy. Get them there, Smokey. But set that old cruise on 65. That's about the only way you can run this road here. Sometimes you gotta run a little slower than that. There's so much traffic on it, though. So I definitely feel for our old buddy, Keith right there. Sounds like he has to run up down here an awful lot, so. This right here, this road here is one of the hardest stretches of interstate there for the duration of the, from Bristol up to Winchester to the top of it there is one of the hardest durations to run. I'm not talking about particular spots like Atlanta, which, by the way, that is where we're going is Atlanta. And I'd rather drive around Atlanta during rush hour than have to run up down 81, but this is a far and few between type deal here, so... We just kind of set the old cruise going with the flow. We're going to be coming down here to Greenville, Virginia, though. I'm going to stop down here at the big P lot and get me a shower. Today is shower day. I think I was going to mention there, and I got off the subject awful quick there, about where I got caught up in that the politic part of this and that there, mentioning stuff, you know, about it all kind of started. I was thinking about, you know, what got that started. Actually, it's not my mentor, though, but it was up there in Michigan, you know, where I had to give the devil its dues. And then inside the same week, you know, when I went to Georgia, you know, I had to give the devil his dues down there, too, you know. So I believe I kind of got off track just a little bit there on mentioning the unfairs and injustice, you know, where. But that right there would be a depressing thing to talk about, you know. It's best just to, I guess, you know, just turn your head on stuff like that and, not, think on it. So, I'm gonna have to get rid of that. Now, that's going out the window right here. Okay. There we go. That's out the window now. And then you get out here to pass his four-wheeler there, and then it speeds up a little bit, and then it ends up causing me to have to speed up to get around them there to keep from blocking these fine folks there that's in a hurry to go down the road. So, that's kind of aggravating there, you know. So now I get back in the right lane there, and I guess they're going to go ahead and slow back down now. Yep, okay. I'd have been disappointed if they didn't.
Everybody knows this is how the story goes. She knows she's got everything that a woman needs to get a man. Yeah, yeah. How can she lose what should she use? 36, 24, 36. What a winning hand, cause she's a bitch.
Okay, it's 10:40 a.m. Gonna be we done got off exit here, gonna be going into the pilot. And if I can remember when I come back out there to remember my time here and see just how much time that we've lost in here. Just to stop and get a shower. Seems the best way to do it this pilot here in Greenville, Virginia, is to come across the scale, the cat scale there, because you can't never get through the fuel island unless you're going to wait in line. And then that'll put you over onto the far side of the parking lot where you'd be able to back in there, you know, without having to do it on your blind side there, hopefully that way. Here's how quiet the CB is right here at the pilot in Greenville. There's nobody at all talking, even in the background. I had it on the whole time that I've come in here, buddy, and they wasn't a soul saying a word, even out on the interstate there, which this is right beside the interstate. So, you know, people's learning there that the CB's just good for entertainment and aggravation, mainly. Okay, I got out of my shower there, so actually, you know, I haven't left yet. I'm going to watch an episode of Gunsmoke while I ate me some Arby's here. Ate me a little bite of lunch. It's 10 to 12, so I could have probably been rolling by now if I hadn't brought my lunch out here. So, it's about an hour and 10 minutes. Let's see, 10:44, yeah. About an hour and 10 minutes there. Oh, I'm going to cook my heat my fries back up in the microwave here. They got cold there. That's a long little walker, that bridge they got here at the pilot here in Greenville. And I put my fries in the microwave to warm them up after I got back out here to my truck. But we'll get back out with it in a minute there. We'll have us a little bite of lunch here first. I'll say one thing though. So far at Road Pro 2500 watt, the inverter that I got from Pilot, is certainly earning its money. Or it's nice to be able to use my microwave with my TV and everything going on at the same time, oh. Hey, I about forgot to tell you too, Laura and everybody else. I did get Mama a ring laid away there week before last. Laid away one for her birthday, which it's not until September. But she wanted a black diamond, and it was, I think, going to be around $700 or $800, something like that there, and we paid a little down on it, and it had to have it special made, so we're getting that. And that's getting made and put together probably as we speak, if it ain't already done there. Back out here on the big road, though, about 12:18. Took us about an hour and a half, let's see, hour and 40 minutes. Got that old belly filled up again, though. I hadn't bought me nothing to eat there. I've been eating out of the truck or since I left out, I think. Had breakfast, even had oatmeal this morning there for breakfast. Had to fix me a pot of coffee in the truck ever since I was camped out there at the shipper. Got the cruise set right back on 65 mile an hour coming down through here, though, and I have calibrated that with the satellite. Speedometer on the truck there usually show about 2 mile an hour to be faster, so be doing 67 when I'm really just doing 65. I wonder, you know, where all the other kind of trucks are, if their speedometers are off like that too. I don't know why it is, but about a mile and a half an hour, you know, where even according to the signs and stuff in the construction there to give you a digital readout with the radar, it still matches up it matches up to what my satellite says. So that's what we go by. So 65 mile an hour, that ought to give us about the best ride that you can get down through here, because most are trying to beat it by a few miles an hour up to about 5 miles an hour. There goes a white wrapper right now by me. He's a cruising on south there. Definitely running a little quicker than 65, though. Oh, but I'm not going there, am I? We are trucking, baby. Well, back in the older days there, traveling roads like this through this roly-poly of Interstate 81, we're coming down by the 186 over 3 mile marker right now, which is means 3/10. There, they've got them all the way into the tenths of miles marked on this big road here. But used to be, or still, yeah, a lot to do, though. Going downhill, a truck or especially a heavy loaded one will let it roll, catch up extra speed, and make a little speed for the one coming up there if you're getting ready to pull one, what have you. But with all the extra traffic congestion today, especially here on Interstate 81, there, you can't hardly do it that way, because you end up catching up with somebody there that you don't want to have to speed up to pass, or that you either can't pass, you know, where because of the way you, the truck governed speed is. And such the case was where I caught up to a Stevens transport truck at running 65 miles an hour. And, of course, he let it roll down the hill after I got out in the hammer lane. He was going downhill, so he let it roll down the hill. And as he come back uphill, he done caught up to a trucker that just got done passing him earlier because he was going slow, about 64. And so that kind of put him in a bind, because I was going to go ahead and pass him since I caught up to him, you know, running the cruise. So I guess guys will always continue to do that, but it's going to cause a little aggravation that way, because, you know, guys are going to run into problems doing it that way. So here we are going down a hill now in the construction zone. I didn't notice the signs that let trucks left lane going down. I noticed on the northbound side, but I must have been flapping my jaw if he's one over here on the southbound side, but I jump over here with everybody else, though. And like I was saying, though, it will cause, you know, you got a Jake break it, even though I've got a light load. I think I've got maybe 11,000 pounds of mail on here, junk mail. And, you know, I have to Jake break it going down the hill, and here comes a big truck now coming up on the right side there to pass me. I like it. But I just, you know, keep my space there between me and the truck in front of me, and, you know, just don't even worry about it. Ain't concerned about what other people think or what have you there. But anyway, you know, you got to hold a steady speed these days. You know, if it's going downhill, you know, a person here needs to use a Jake brake and or foot brakes to hold a steadier speed. And, of course, ain't a whole lot you can do about climbing a hill. Just let the cruise control do its thing. But there's a lot of adjustments you can make on going down the hills, though. So what I do, especially with this light of a load, I just let the Jake brake handle my downhill part of it. And and I just basically stay on the up and up with a level cruise speed on the flat part of it, though. So I've got as long as it takes down through here running the speed limit. And for instance, right now there was another truck getting ready to come by me here in the right lane. So that left in the left lane, but I'm coming up a hill out of the construction now, and speed limit's 65, so I'll just sit on the cruise. And then passing the Nationwide Express here, if his truck will run faster than 65, he can speed back up on the, in the right lane and try to get in front or what have you. But for now, you know, we'll just ride right here in the left lane, though, with the cruise control on. And they may be at the Nationwide Express truck or is governed at 65 or won't run any faster than that. He got back out on the flat ground and then came back, started back around me, though, and I let him come on in there. He's starting down the hill, though, so he can come in front of me. Now, he's loaded heavier, so he'll have a harder time there, you know, staying out of my way on the hill on a pull. But coming around me, looked like he's only able to move about maybe 1 mile an hour faster. or if that. So I couldn't really slow down much since there was traffic behind me too, and then that'd put a kink in somebody else's cruise control settings and cause them to have to make some kind of an adjustment. So it's kind of like a unit train on the Interstate 81 through Virginia. It everybody's affected there where the traffic is so congested. If one person in the line slows down, then the whole line either has to slow down or go out and pass. And then, of course, if you pass, every time you get up the hill long enough line, you end up having to speed up or over the speed limit. And that's kind of aggravating. That puts you in another category of travel. And I'm not interested in that either. I'm just interested in my own space right here at 65 mile an hour. But I believe next hill, if I slow down a little bit there, since he wants to let his roll off the hills there as fast as it'll go, where he might gain enough on me there to where it won't matter. I'd say if I ever end up having to drive a truck, it was governed, though, at 65, where I couldn't speed up a few mile an hour or something to pass somebody. I would probably end up having to set my cruise about 2 mile an hour slower, and then I would probably be about a 99% out of a big group of folks there, you know, that would still have the road to myself. And if I ever did catch up to another truck there that was running the same 63 mile an hour, then I could probably speed up that 2 mile an hour I had for reserve there, you know, and then do it that way. I've come up another grade here, so I'm going to end up catching back up to this old boy here, but we're about to top it, so I'll kick off the cruise and then give him a chance to go on. I tell you, but this run Interstate 81, it ought to pay double though, you know. I get paid 38 cents a mile, and that's, I feel like, a pretty fair wage, you know, anywheres that don't go east of Tennessee. And up Interstate 81, but for as far as, you know, I think CFI used to advertise they paid like a 5 cent extra a mile to run this road up through here. I think it ought to pay double, though, because of the congestion and the aggravation and stuff, you know. You can't really make any time on it unless you want to get stressed plumb out. You know, I seen another truck earlier there trying to make a little bit of time, and all he was doing there was having, you know, ride a bumper of somebody else in the left lane. So it's hard to streamline Interstate 81 through Virginia, for sure. I've been sharing a little bit of riding back and forth there with Farmer PJ, too, or from Southeast Australia, and enjoyed some of the comments. Hey, man, I know a buddy of mine, you know, wears a farmer over by the house, you know, and used to, before I got married. Of course, that takes up a lot of my free time at home now, you know, being married, though. So, but now before that, of course, I mean, he was married, you know, but living on the farm, and that put me, you know, in an easier position. I'd stay out on the road, you know, for those times. I'd be out on the road about 3 weeks, and I'd come home, and I had all my free time to myself. So I'd go down on the farm, hang out, and we'd go down there and have a little fellowship there on the creek and at the barn, and we'd grill and fellowship and all kinds of good things down there. So definitely miss that there. That's a good serene atmosphere, you know, where peaceful and common. Right here's a Warner truck now. I bet he's running 55 miles an hour, buddy. He's done give up the fight there, so he's just sticking to the right lane and keeping his own driving space that way. That's one other way to go about it, I guess. I reckon. But, you know, I used to I delivered after I picked it up. I used to pick up milk stuff off dairy farms back in the best old days, back when I first started driving, when I was 18 years old. I had got a job, you know, driving a milk truck, and was picking up from regular dairy farms back in the backwoods of East Tennessee, Southwest Virginia area. Now I'd hauled over to Greenville, Tennessee, over to the Kraft plant where they made cheese out of it. And I guess I've mentioned some of this before. I don't know if I mentioned all. Of course, you know, just like Farmer PJ, where he's listening in, he missed out on the podcast that I explained how I come up with the name two times. So, you know, a lot of folks that hasn't, or it may just be coming in, I guess, you know, it won't hurt to repeat some of the stuff there. If I've repeated this, I can't even remember myself now. So, one particular dairy farmer, though, used to have a refrigerator out in his dairy barn, and he was a big Wiedemann beer drinker. That was an off-brand of off-brands, but, I mean, it wasn't that bad. And every day it'd be about noontime there. When I'd be picking up, I'd run that one route, I think, every other day, and I'd always stop in a while there and have a cold beer with the farmer right there, the dairy farmer. I enjoyed that. That was nice and quiet. You know, everything was quiet. I turned the truck off. Everything out there on the farm was just quiet and peaceful. And, man, you can't beat the sound of farm away from traffic and the outdoors away from sound, you know, other than just Mother Nature, you know, humming a little breeze or something through the leaves and this and that, or through the trees. Very peaceful and relaxing, and you know, back in them days there, and still yet though, really, you know, where the stress wasn't even in the vocabulary, you know, in my vocabulary, and still yet it's not. I could almost let it got away from me, but I'm going to go ahead and thank Laura one more time for sending me that email, and then I'm going to dismiss, not even get back into that subject. So if I do, I appreciate it. Appreciate her doing that again. And I kind of need, you know, kind of like need somebody to sit over in a jump seat almost there with a big long yardstick. And when I grind the gear, so to speak, I need somebody to slap me on the hand with it. Thank you. Thank you very much. As we cross the Polack River here in Polish County, about the 105-mile mark on Interstate 81 there, noticed it looked like it's turning. The color of the water is turning kind of green, and that means nothing else other than spring is a-coming. Blue skies, solid blue skies, and 58 degrees. As we come on down south right here, just a little bit further from where we was at this morning, where the icy cold conditions were at there. So northern part of the Virginia there is still experiencing winter, and the southern part is going into springtime mode. Oh, and that that good week that I got when I went to Phoenix out there week four last, whenever that was, well, that was a 40 cent a mile week there. We get extra 2 cents when we run 3,000 mile or better in the week, and of course those weeks are kind of a few in between maybe, but well, this week here looks like it's going to be about a maybe a 1500 mile week or something like that. But I don't know. I told dispatcher, you know, where when I get down here to Atlanta, you know, or if we can, or, you know, try to get another and go out to Phoenix, or rather go on out to California with it and then get us some produce and come back, and then that put me back into the house there for the following weekend there, hopefully, if everything works out okay. And that'd give us a good paycheck again there to fatten up Mama's money wad. Yeah. I'm going around a JB Hunt truck back there a minute ago, and he's got the right idea. He's probably running about 63 miles an hour, and mine's up around 66. I've been trying to get it back to 65. It's hard to get that cruise control lock right in on the odd number. Seems like it wants to lock down for the even numbers. I can kick it off and then reset it, and it will keep grabbing a hold. I don't know if it's just the mood it's in for this time of the day or what it is, though. But anyway, you know, he had the right idea. If his truck's set at 65 or something, you know, if he's running 63, more than likely he's not going to have to pass a handful of people in a day's time. Certainly not today's traffic, but if he does, you know where, he's still got some accelerator to use if he needs it, though. That's the thing about it, you know, these run-of-the-mill companies are that need a driver to put in that 11-hour day, you know, by slowing down, that'll eat at it maybe just a little bit. I don't know what it'd make up, if 20 minutes in a day's time or something maybe, if that. Haven't calculated on it, but it's just, you know, look at it like a job instead of a race or a time or trying to beat time or something, you know, where a driver doesn't look at it as needing to try to beat time, because, you know, like I said before, time can't be beat. You know, time's killing us. It's beating us. And so, you know, best thing to do is just call truce or and try to make friends with time, you know, and by slowing down, you know, I've often said you can't outrun traffic out here on the highways, but you can outslow it. And I'm still quite confident there that I could still outslow anybody there that I would need to outslow, as far as that goes, about going slow, you know. And I've maintained cruise all the way down through here, even through a couple of tight spots or something, you know. It's better for me to let off the cruise, turn the cruise off, and wait on the situation to change just a little bit, and then get back on the cruise. So by slowing down still yet, it's easier on me, you know, coming down through here this way, because, you know, it's just too much volume, too much traffic volume on this road. I don't know whatever happened to that idea where they was going to try to build another, like a toll road up through here. I guess that kind of beat the band. I guess the Forest Committee, the Woods Committee or something might have bucked against it. I don't know where, but I don't guess it's going to fly for now anyway. Still sipping on a coffee that I bought up there at the Big Pilot, and I can't get mine to taste that good. But the Pilot's got some good taste of coffee. I'll have to give them that. They've got some bad designs for their parking lot and entrance and exit ways, and they do create a cluster at times. But they've got some daggone good coffee. And the Folgers I've got, I tried 8 scoops for 12 cups, and I've tried 6 scoops for 12 cups. The 8 was a taint strong, and the 6 seems to be close to being right, but there's still like it may be the coffee maker. I mean, it's one of them Proctor Silex $10 deals that I bought at, where'd I get? I got that at the dollar store. Yeah, that's a $10 coffee pot maker. I don't know if it's got anything to do with the way that it brews. I mean, it may have. I mean, they wouldn't be able to sell them big high-dollar buns, you know, if that wasn't the case. So I'm probably end up going a different route there with this Proctor Silex deal. I don't know if it just needs a good washing out. I mean, it's almost kind of got a little bit of a plastic taste to it there, I guess, if I was going to identify it with something. I don't know, buddy. And, you know, but now the thing about that Proctor Silex there at the dollar store sales, and I just grabbed that real quick because that was convenient for me to run down to the dollar store the other day after I put this in, and that's what I got. But now it's got some kind of a flow design on it. You got to have the lid closed and putting pressure on the cup holder, the coffee cup part, the holder part that holds the coffee, where it's got one of them release buttons on it there where you take the coffee pot out, it quits flowing down. But it kind of has to fill up a little bit, and the weight of the water helps press the control flow valve open or it's spring loaded like or something. But I may end up having to can that thing or take it back to the dollar store if I remember where I put the receipt for it. I hope I can. And maybe get a Mr. Coffee. Because I know, you know, coffee I make at the house seems to taste better than this Proctor Silex coffee maker, though. I've definitely got to get that worked out, because, you know, when I get into a spot where like I was this morning where I camped out where I was loading, I've got to be able to make me a big pot of coffee. And even the 4-cup coffee maker that I had, the Black & Decker, I believe it was, you know, it made good tasting coffee. But I can't hardly get none of it to ring up there to the Pilot, and the very number one best of all is from Burger King. But close to that, you know, running in second place there, I'd have to go ahead and say the big pilot or the big pilot sells quality coffee. Get down here close to Winfield, Virginia area. We're Interstate 77. We're about a mile from the split on 81 still yet, but temperatures come on up to 62 degrees down here. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful blue sky. Trucking weather, baby. Over here on Interstate 77, pulling the hill here at the about the 20-mile marker. They got one sign there that says no trucks left lane, 5.5 mile, and they've got other sets of signs that said no commercial vehicles in the left lane, no running under 50 mile an hour. So one kind of contradicts the other, but I just sit over in the right lane, take my time, back out of it, go up there with the slow folk, and not take that chance there since they could write, I'm sure they could write a ticket there if they wanted to on that, but I'm not in that big a hurry anyway. And that gives other people there, you know, a chance to get out there and go on there. But there's a lot of traffic out here, I tell you. They're coming down from Canada. Here's Florida going back down south. Here's Ohio coming up on me. A lot of traffic out here, but this is a high traffic. You know, with the traffic volume that we've got out here on the road though these days, it's going to get to where a person just basically has to drive these interstate roads like a two-lane highway. You just kind of have to put yourself in the frame of mind that you're on a two-lane, double-line highway and leave a good following distance, which that right there is what I'm doing. It keeps me from smothering out, which if I was up there close like some of these guys get to the other vehicle, it'd definitely be smothering me out, though. But I leave a good large following distance, and we're only running 55 miles an hour here anyway in this big long line, this big long choo-choo train line. But thing about there with the slow trucks there is you're slow going up the hills. When they get start over the other side, you know, they'll probably be running a little faster than I want to run anyway there, because I'm still maintaining the 65, and a lot of them are just kind of let it roll, so I'm not interested in having to speed up or any faster than the speed limit actually right now to get around anybody. So we'll just kind of sit over here and ride. Enjoy the beautiful blue sky. Charlotte, North Carolina, 116 more miles. Alrighty, we've stopped here at the Big Wilco Travel Center truck stop, about 26 miles up above Charlotte. And I'm going to let the traffic, or the afternoon traffic have it there. It's rush hour time for Charlotte, so that'll be a... between Charlotte and Atlanta, that's a heavily traveled area of 85 anyway, especially down through the Carolinas. So we're going to truck that up through the midnight hour. So for now, this is Trucker Two Times, and I will catch you later.